National Gout Awareness Day is May 22nd, and today we're going to find out about this misunderstood condition. What do you know about gout? Besides that it's sometimes fun to say, but that's where the fun ends. We've got with us Dr. Christopher Parker, Chief of Rheumatology at Austin Diagnostic Clinic, and also we have someone who suffers from gout, Gary, who joins us to talk about that. So we have Gary with gout and Dr. Parker. When I think of gout, I think of your big toe and like too much alcohol or rich foods. That's my limit of this, doctor. Help me explain to the people more what gout is. And I guess there's an arthritis. It's in the arthritis family, if it were.
That's right. That's right. It's in the arthritis category. So those are very commonly thought of things when you think of gout associations. So let me expand that a little bit for you. So gout is a condition, and you're right, it's a type of arthritis, where a normal waste product in the body called uric acid builds up and deposits in joints that triggers intermittent flare-ups of not only horribly painful, but even destructive arthritis. So to reiterate, it's a type of arthritis from high uric acid causing intermittent flare-ups and even destruction of joints. And you're right that the big toe is commonly involved, but it's a myth to think that it's the only place it occurs. So gout, this disorder, likes to involve not only the big toe, but it likes to get in the feet or lower extremities first, midfoot, ankle, knee, flare up for a number of days or weeks, and then resolve, only to come back again later. And if you don't do anything about it, it'll oftentimes work its way up the body, meaning it'll get into an elbow or a wrist or small joints of the fingers. And these flare-ups are described, and Gary will go over it further in a minute, but they usually describe horrible pain and swelling, maybe even redness, maybe even fever to make them think they have an infection, but it's all from a gout attack.
Gary, how long did you live with it before you started doing something about it?
Yeah, so I'm currently 47 years old. I was diagnosed with gout at the age of 24, so I've been living with it for a long time. And it took a while before I took the disease seriously. In the early days, when the gout attacks came, I'd ignore the pain and hope the disease would go away. Well, that was false. As time went on, the attacks became more prevalent, more painful, excruciating, really, affecting every fiber of my being when it hit. I would describe the pain as intense, like someone actually living inside my body with a pitchfork and stabbing at my joint when the inflammation would come on. So sensitive would the swelling joint be that at times just the wind blowing across the affected area would cause pain. I would cry at night sometimes, you know. There was absolutely no hope during that period. And about 5 years ago, I decided to stop searching after home remedies and listen to people's opinions about how to deal with gout. I decided to go see a rheumatologist, a specialist. And it was that time that my rheumatologist, Dr. Parker, and I sat down. He listened to my story. We came up with a game plan. I understood that I had two options. I either manage this disease or the disease manages me. And 5 years ago, I decided that I was going to manage the disease.
Doctor, what treatments are there? I have someone in my office area who has gout. He has a medication he takes on a regular basis, which has kept it under control. And then he says he has something else that he uses in case of a flare-up. Is that kind of the standard protocol?
Yes, that is a standard strategy. You want to have a maintenance strategy, like your friend. And then should a flare-up occur, you want to be able to treat it right away. And one of the myths that Gary and I wanted to dispel is we only have a couple medicines for this unfortunate and painful disorder. We now have a variety of technologies, and so just like Gary did, we want to find the right fit. And hopefully your colleague that you're describing is having good control. But if somebody's having real poor control, with, say, and taking a pill and still having intermittent flare-ups, then we even now have IV medications that we can give people to manage this disorder. Now, the IV medication is called Krystexxa, and patients have to come in every couple weeks and get an IV infusion. But they don't have to do that for forever. This is just over a period of months to really get that uric acid level down and get it under control. And then they can go back to their pill and oftentimes have way better control. Now, you might be thinking, wow, an IV medicine, that might really have potential side effects. And you'd be right. This medicine could cause severe allergic reactions or someone have a problem. So we have to give it in the healthcare setting. So patients will come to my office. If they were to have any trouble, of course, I would send to it right there on the spot. And then, like I said, they would I'd put them back on pills later to really maintain that good control. So if somebody wants to know more about that technology, you'd go to Krystexxa.com, KrystexxA.com. You can learn more about that medication. Now, Gary and I have really partnered with Horizon Pharmaceuticals. They're a company, like us, that shares our commitment to raising awareness about gout and dispelling false information. So I want to make sure that we translate to your listeners that there's a lot of hope out there. Whether you have easy-to-manage gout, one-a-day pill, maintenance, and rare flare-ups, or they have very difficult gout like Gary had, who was having progressively more flare-ups and really needed a better strategy.
I've also heard or read that people who have gout have like four other different types of medical conditions. Why is that? Why does that seem to be the case?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. And really, the key thing to remember is if a patient has gout, they really have to watch out for other commonly associated disorders. So those are, again, everybody knows people with these things. Diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, obesity. Those things run with gout. In fact, kidney disease also runs with gout. And the reverse is also true. If you have kidney disease, you need to watch out for gout. Or if you have diabetes, you need to be on the lookout for gout. So I encourage patients, don't guess. Check your uric acid levels in the blood. It's an easy, inexpensive blood test. And that way you can know if your uric acid levels are high, you need to watch out for it. Or if you have gout, you can quickly figure out if you need additional help. And it's easy to know if the uric acid level is high. Because if it's over 6, you need a fix. That's what I tell my patients. It even rhymes. If it's over 6, you need a fix. And you can quickly figure out if you need to make further modifications.
It's National Gout Awareness Day, May 22nd. We're glad we were able to get the word out about gout. And again, if people want to find out more about some of the drugs or the protocol, where's a good place again to get to details?
Yeah. So other sources of information about gout in general include Arthritis Foundation, so that's arthritis.org, or Mayo Clinic has a nice website, mayoclinic.com, or medlineplus.gov is the National Library of Medicine website for patients. That's in both English and Spanish, that last one.
Sounds great. Well, we appreciate Gary sharing your story with us and Dr. Parker for getting all the technical information out about gout, as we want to make people aware of it and be able to treat it and keep it under control. Thanks for your time this morning, gentlemen. Okay.